From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And would like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesia and Singapore to strengthen economic cooperation to expedite recovery. New program to help MSMEs penetrate global markets. Now the news in details. Indonesia and Singapore have agreed to enhance economic cooperation, including in digital technology investment, to speed up economic recovery in the two countries, which have been impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Erlangga Hartarto, said, in a bilateral meeting held online on Thursday, that Indonesia-Singapore have agreed to make remarkable efforts and initiate new policy breakthroughs to ensure that strengthened health protocols can run in line with economic recovery. At the ministerial meeting, the Singapore delegation was led by Trade and Industry Minister Chan Chu Sing. Both countries highlighted the importance of previous agreement, such as the ratification of bilateral investment, travel corridor, provisions for the elimination of double taxation, and Indonesia's structural reform policy through the job creation law. Singapore is the third largest trade partner of Indonesia, while Indonesia is the sixth largest trade partner of Singapore. PT POS Logistik Indonesia, a subsidiary of state-owned postal company PT POS Indonesia, is developing a program to help the country's micro, small, and medium enterprises penetrate the global markets. State-owned companies working with two local business partners to develop the National Export, B2B and B2C, e-commerce project development program for MSMEs. They are PT Rivalium Baraka Hub and Indonesia Eurasia International Council. PT POS Logistik Indonesia will support the development of the next program by facilitating the overseas delivery of MSMEs products with a shipping capacity of under 100 kilograms. The company's president director, Yuzon Erman, said in a statement on Thursday. The next program could bolster the government efforts to recover Indonesia's economy amid the COVID-19 pandemic, as it will help MSMEs to survive and compete in the global market through the application of technology. A legislator representing the Papuan constituencies has appealed to the police and military TNI to work closely with regional governments and Papuan communities in handling and seeking solution to the conflict in the province. Yan Permanas Mandenas said in a statement about his official visit to Jayapura on Wednesday that the prioritized policies of the law enforcement and security agencies in Papua are how to create a sense of security and comprehensive peace of the land of Papua. During his visit, Mandenas met with Deputy Papua Police Chief Brigadier General Matthews De Fakhiri and several police officers. At the meeting, he was apprised of the current security situation in the district of Intan Jaya and Duga following violent attacks carried out by armed groups operating in the areas. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. President Donald Trump and Democratic challenger Joe Biden will hold dueling primetime town halls instead of a second presidential debate on Thursday, October 15, as Americans continue to swamp polling places in states allowing early in-person voting. With less than 3 weeks to go until November 3rd election, The Republican president is trying to change the dynamics of a race in which Biden has a double-digit advantage in some national polls. North Carolina, a highly competitive state, began more than 2 weeks of in-person early voting on Thursday, following huge turnout in Georgia and Texas earlier in this week. Video from local media showed large numbers of people waiting for the polls to open in Greensboro and Winston-Salem, and gathering in the pre-dawn hours to vote at two arenas in the state's largest city, Charlotte. The risk of exposures to the coronavirus on flights is very low, a U.S. Department of Defense study released on Thursday found, a positive sign for the airline industry as it tries to rebound from the pandemic's crushing effect on travel. When a seated passenger is wearing a mask, an average of 0.003% of air particles within the breathing zones around a person's head are infectious, even when every seat is occupied. The testing assumed only one infected person on the plane and did not simulate the effects of passenger movement around the cabin. The study, conducted aboard United Airlines Boeing 777 and 767 aircraft, shows that masks help minimize exposure to infections when someone coughs, even in neighboring seats. About 99.99% of particles were filtered out of the cabin within 6 minutes due to the fast air circulation, downward air ventilation, and the filtration system on the aircraft. It estimates that to receive an infectious dose, a passenger would need to fly 54 hours on a plane with an infectious person. Imposing tighter controls to curb COVID-19 contagion could save hundreds of thousands of lives across Europe before February as the continent battles an exponential surge in infection, the World Health Organization said on Thursday, urging governments to step up swiftly to contain a second wave of the coronavirus pandemic. The WHO European Director Hans Kluge said the current situation was more than ever pandemic times for Europe. New infections are hitting 100,000 daily in Europe, and Regent has just registered the highest weekly incidence of COVID-19 cases since the beginning of the pandemic, with almost 700,000 cases reported. More than 38 million people globally have been reported as infected with COVID-19, and 1.1 million have died. The U.S. Special Envoy to Afghanistan said on Thursday he had struck an agreement with the insurgent Taliban to reset their commitments under a troop withdrawal deal and reduce the number of casualties in the country, which has seen heavy fighting in southern Helmand province. This week, the Taliban launched a major offensive in Helmand, attempting to take the provincial's capital, and ensuing fighting had displaced thousands of civilians. U.S. Envoy Zalmay Khalilzad said on Twitter that he and General Scott Miller, the commander of U.S. forces in Afghanistan, had held several meetings with the Taliban. This week, the United States took part in airstrikes against the Taliban at the start of the offensive in Helmand, during which Taliban forces took major checkpoints and closed in on the provincial's capital. A February deal between the United States and the Taliban said foreign forces would leave Afghanistan by May 2021 in exchange for counterterrorism guarantees from the Taliban, which agreed to negotiate a permanent ceasefire and a power-sharing formula with the Afghan government. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling Pandemic, Demonstration and Thai Government's Decree. Amid the COVID-19 pandemic that is still being dealt with in Thailand, Thai riot police carried out an evacuation at the outer office of the Thai Prime Minister from hundreds of thousands of protesters in the early hours on Thursday. An emergency decree was issued to tackle the growing protests by banning large crowds and the publishing of sensitive news. A series of demonstrations over the past 3 months has brought hundreds of thousands of people onto the street of Bangkok, Thailand. They are demanding the removal of Prime Minister Prayut Chan-o-cha, former leader of a military regime, and a new constitution. The protesters are breaking a long-standing taboo against the royal family by calling for reforms to King Maha Vajiralongkorn's monarchy. They even dare to block the motorcade of the royal family an act which the government used as an excuse to establish its emergency measures. As soon as the emergency decree took effect at 04 local time, anti-riot police approached the protesters who were camping outside the government building. But many of them had left on Wednesday night. The period of the COVID-19 pandemic is indeed a tough time for almost all governments in many countries. Maintaining economic stability is the biggest difficulty that must be faced. What is interesting is that in Thailand, whether it is the post-lockdown effect or otherwise, people are starting to question the power of the Thai monarchy that has not been touched. This is the first time the king of Thailand has been dogged by protest. Something has been taboo, even violated the law. Thai king Maha Vajiralongkorn is known as one of the richest monarchs in the world, with royal family assets conservatively valued at $70 billion. This is now the focus of the pro-democracy movement, which demands greater transparency in monarchical finances and limits on its very broad powers. This is the basis of the demonstration movement amid the pandemic, which is then attempted to be resolved by decree. Perhaps this decree issued by the Thai government could hold back the demonstration. However, the COVID-19 pandemic is still difficult to predict when it will shake off. It is equally difficult to predict whether Thailand will not continue to be rocked by further demonstration. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Listener, we meet again in Today in History over Voice of Indonesia, and we start from a historical event on October 16, 1905, Syarikat Islam was founded. Syarikat Islam, formerly known as Syarikat Dagang Islam or SDI, was founded on October 16, 1905 by Haji Saman Hudi and his friends. Syarikat Dagang Islam was the first organization born in Indonesia. Initially, the organization was an association of Islamic traders who opposed Dutch politics to give foreign traders the freedom to enter the people's economy. At the first Congress of SDI in Solo in 1906, the name Syarikat Dagang Islam or SDI was changed to Syarikat Islam. Host Chokro Aminoto changed the SDI jurisdiction broader, which previously only covered economic and social issues, into the spirit of Islamic struggle in the people's fighting spirit against colonialism and imperialism. Turn to a story on October 16, 1923, Walt Disney was founded. The Walt Disney Company, or better known as Disney, is a conglomerate company in the entertainment and media sector in the world. Founded on October 16, 1923 by Walt Disney and Roy Oliver Disney, the company was named the Disney Brothers Cartoon Studio. Mickey Mouse became a symbol of Walt Disney. With the history of World Food Day commemorated on October 16 every year. World Food Day is commemorated annually on October 16. This date was chosen to mark the establishment of the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, on October 16, 1945. World Food Day was established by FAO member countries at the 20th General Conference in November 1979. Minister of Agriculture and Food at Hungary, Dr. Paul Romani, as the country's delegation played an important role at the conference and proposed the idea of celebrating World Food Day on October 16 to be celebrated every year. This commemoration aims to increase awareness of the issues of poverty and hunger. Since 1981, World Food Day has adopted various themes with the aim of emphasizing important issues of the food sector that require special attention. That was Today in History.
Sedang ku rasakan segalanya berubah, dan rasa rindu itu pun ada sejak kau hadir di setiap malam di tidurku. Aku tahu sesuatu sedang terjadi padaku. Aku jatuh cinta kepada dirinya, sungguh-sungguh cinta, oh apa adanya. Tak pernah ku ragu, namun tetap selalu menunggu. Sungguh aku jatuh cinta kepadanya. Sekian lama ku alami pedih putus cinta, dan mulai terbiasa hidup sendiri tanpa asmara. Dan hadirmu membawa cinta, sembuhkan lukaku. Kau berbeda dari yang ku kira. Jatuh cinta kepada dirinya, sungguh-sungguh cinta, oh apa adanya. Tak pernah ku ragu, namun tetap selalu menunggu. Sungguh aku jatuh cinta kepadanya. Coba dengarkan apa yang ingin aku katakan, yang selama ini sungguh telah lama terpendam. Aku tak percaya, membuatku tak berdaya untuk ungkapkan apa yang ku rasa. Aku jatuh cinta kepada dirinya, sungguh-sungguh cinta, oh apa adanya. Tak pernah ku ragu, namun tetap selalu menunggu. Sungguh aku
Well, for listener, you've listened the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia title, the number of industrial estates continue to increase. Indonesia is ready to accommodate investors. The Ministry of Industry stated that the number of area of industrial estates will continue to increase, thereby Indonesia is ready to accommodate investors. Director General for Resilience, Territory and International Industrial Access of the Ministry of Industry, Dodi Widodo, in Jakarta Monday, October 12, as reported by Antara, said that as of August 2020, 121 industrial estates have been completed throughout Indonesia. Dodi Widodo said in the last 5 years, there has been a very rapid increase in the number and area of industrial estates. In terms of numbers, it increased by 51.25%. Likewise, in terms of area, it also increased by more than 17,000 hectares or by 47.35%. According to Dodi Widodo, currently industrial estates outside Java have increased by 14 areas with an additional area of more than 9,000 hectares. In addition, the increase in the percentage of area outside Java is also higher than in Java Island. Based on land sales data in industrial estates recorded by the Industrial Estate Association, in 2019, there are 42 foreign investment companies with a land requirement of 371.11 hectares and 35 domestic investment companies with 50.27 hectares land requirements. Dodi explained, in 2020, there will be 20 foreign investment companies with a land requirement of 61.82 hectares and 5 companies of domestic investment with a land requirement of 13 hectares. In supporting inclusive economic development, the government is trying to encourage the development of industrial estates in Java, which are focused on labor-intensive industrial sectors and high-tech industries. Meanwhile, industrial estates outside Java are more focused on natural resource-based industries, increasing the efficiency of the logistics system and as a driver for the development of industrial estates as new economic centers. Dodi Widodo said, with the development of new integrated economic centers, it is expected to have a maximum effect on regional economic development. The development of industrial estates is expected to be more integrated with infrastructure, logistics, raw materials, human resources and research facilities, so that it is more effective and competitive. That was My Indonesia.
Cantiknya paras dan hati. Kau jadi harmoni saat ku bernyanyi tentang terang dan gelapnya hidup ini. Kaulah bentuk terindah dari baiknya Tuhan padaku. Waktu tak mengusaikan cantikmu, kau wanita terhebat bagiku. Tolong kamu camkan itu. Hal yang mudah, dengan kasih lembut kau pecahkan kerasnya hatiku. Beruntungnya aku dimiliki kamu. Kamu adalah bukti dari jadi harmoni saat ku bernyanyi tentang terang dan gelapnya hidup ini. Kaulah bentuk terindah dari baiknya Tuhan padaku. Waktu tak mengusaikan cantikmu, kau wanita terhebat bagi. Tolong kamu jamkan itu.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. For today's edition, I would like to introduce you Indonesian cuisine, bubur jamu coro. Bubur jamu coro is the typical cuisine of Demak Regency, Central Java Province. It consists of two types of culinary, namely porridge and jamu coro. Porridge is made from rice flour and jamu coro is made from coconut milk, brown sugar, fine salt, cinnamon, cloves, ginger, galangal, and pandan leaf. The coconut milk is boiled with pandan leaves and it is stirred until it boils. Then we must put all other ingredients into the coconut milk stew until it smells good. This culinary can be enjoyed directly or separately. Bubur jamu coro will be tasteful if it is served with coconut milk baking tin or boiled water of brown sugar and powdered pepper. The taste mix as appetite. The bubur choro, which contains flour and jamu choro, can also be sold and enjoyed separately. You can only buy bubur or porridge with a variety of kincha and coconut milk or just jamu choro with pepper. Of course, you will immediately taste the spicy pepper. Jamu choro is believed to treat flatulence and colds, and the stomach feels warm. People usually buy bubur jamu choro for body fitness. Usually after consuming bubur jamu choro, the body feels immediately fresh. Bubur jamu choro is usually enjoyed as breakfast or enjoyed in the afternoon. This dish is very delicious when eaten warm. Traders usually sell the culinary by using bicycles. They go around the village to sell bubur jamu choro with relatively cheap, about 5,000 to 10,000 rupiah per portion. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition entitled Bubur Jamu Choro from Demak, Central Java. We will meet again with another interesting topic tomorrow. Goodbye.
Aku mau ngomong sesuatu sama kamu.
Ngomong apa?
Aku nyaman banget sama kamu.
Maksudnya?
Aku mau kita lebih dari ini.
Terus?
Kamu mau gak jadi pacar? usah ikut campur.
Untuk apa?
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miss Eleni. So stay tuned for a listener on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, welcome back to Miss Eleni. Today, we are going to inform you about the Easy Bike, eco-friendly electric bike made by UNPAD students. Stay tuned. Pajajaran University or UNPAD students developed the idea of a solar-powered electric bicycle. Using energy from the sun, the bicycle, which is named Easy Bike, is believed to be more environmentally friendly than other electric bikes currently sold on the market. Apart from being environmentally friendly, Easy Bike also has access to radio frequency identification, GPS, and calorie counter. Because it utilizes solar energy, several charging stations have been initiated in the campus environment. With the presence of Easy Bike, it is hoped that the use of motor vehicles on campus can be reduced and switched to using environmentally friendly vehicles. Considering the counter of the UNPAD campus have many uphill roads and are challenging for the students who want to cycle, this environmentally friendly electric bicycle can also be a solution. One of the team members, Mutiara, explained that her site has also calculated the carbon dioxide emissions that are estimated to be reduced if the students on the UNPAD campus use Easy Bike. It is estimated that more than 1,000 tons of carbon dioxide will be reduced if this electric bicycle is actually applied. For charging, the team has also made a prototype electric bicycle with a charging station. In the future, Easy Bike will continue to be refined, and it is hoped that it can be implemented on the UNPAD campus. The idea of solar-powered electric bicycle won first place in the student category National Scientific Writing Competition at the FOSICO event held by the State University of Malang in August 2020. That was Miss Eleni for today. Thanks for listening. Listeners, in today's season, we would like to play a regional song from North Sumatra entitled Out Boy Nian, to be sung by Alsan Nababan and rearranged by Vicky Sianipar. The song Out Boy Nian is very popular among North Sumatra people. In English, Out Boy Nian means if I could. This song tells about the sadness of a couple who have to separate because of differences in economic status. The song, which was awarded with the 2016 Indonesian Music Award for the Best Regional Language Song Production Work, is the theme song for the film entitled Toba Dream, which was released in 2015 and starred by Vino Bastian and Marsha Timothy. Here is Vicky Sianipar and Alsan Nababan with the song entitled Out Boy Nian. Enjoy the song.
Musik. Yeah. takkan ku ulangi, walau sampai akhir nanti. Cukup derita sampai di sini, cukup derita sampai di sini.
Hatimu biar terus mekar jadi kenyataan. Telah lama ku dahaga berlayar seorang insan. Semoga bersama.
Now we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention. And after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at voiindonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.